The Talking Points podcast is produced in partnership with Fee Michael Gibson and ClinicalTrialResults.org.
Mandeep Mehra, Mike Gibson, coming to you live from AHA 2023, and we're talking about aspirin and LVADs. Can we drop the aspirin? What do you say?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity, Mike. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you about the pivotal ARES trial that we are presenting here at AHA. I'd start with a bit of a preamble to tell you that left ventricular assist device therapy in advanced heart failure has just recently come of age, in a sense. And it was only after the pivotal MOMENTUM 3 trial where we introduced a new third generation pump called the HeartMate 3 pump, which is a lot more forgiving than a prior generation devices, that we were able to show very convincingly that these devices now, irrespective of either bridge to transplant or destination therapy as life prolongation devices in optionless patients, prolong survival, median survival, by more than 5 years. So this is where we've come. And I will say that the Achilles heel of getting us here was a group of complications called hemocompatibility-related adverse events. And these actually included both thrombotic and bleeding events. And in particular, we would see a very high incidence of pump thrombosis that required pump exchange and pump reoperations. And then we would see strokes. And with the new generation device, the HeartMate 3, we were able to nearly eliminate pump thrombosis. And we have reduced strokes down to what one would say that if you get through the surgical complication period of the implant procedure, the rate of stroke is no different than the ambient rate of stroke we observe in ambient heart failure, advanced heart failure, non-device populations. Wow. But where we've still had a bit of a problem in hemocompatibility has been with bleeding-related problems. And we still have been seeing a lot of bleeding problems. They've reduced a bit, but they still account for a top three hospitalization in patients who are implanted with an LVAD. So that was the basis of conducting the ARES trial and in asking a very fundamental and key question about aspirin, as you've pointed out.
And what kind of bleeds are these? Are they, just nosebleeds, or are they real GI bleeds that can be fatal?
Yeah.
What kind of bleeding are you looking at here? By the way, you know what my definition of a major bleed is?
What is that?
Any bleed that happens to me.
Well, that's a great definition. And what I can tell you is that when we talk about bleeds with an LVAD, we are actually talking about major bleeds. And these bleeds are those that require hospitalization, and they require transfusions, and they require a workup to discover the cause, which in most cases is very difficult to discover. And I can tell you that the average cost of a bleed hospitalization to Medicare in the United States is about $13,500. So that's the cost to Medicare with an LVAD at this time point. Now, you asked a fundamental question, what are these bleeds? And the unique physiology of an LVAD actually causes bleeds that are related to more gastrointestinal bleeding from AV malformations. And these bleeds are very similar to what has been observed in critical aortic stenosis, right, with the so-called Hades syndrome, as you would know, where you create a low pulsatility circulation, which uncovers AV malformations, particularly gastrointestinal or mucosal bleeds. So we see GI bleedings, we see basically epistaxis. So any mucosal bleeds are what account for this. And they're very difficult to treat. They're very difficult to find the source and to even treat because they're mostly in the small intestine. And that our ability interventionally to deal with those is quite limited.
Yes. So talk to us, that's great background. Talk to us a little bit about what you did and what you found.
Yeah. So we conducted the first ever medical therapy international randomized controlled trial in the LVAD space. So until now, LVAD trials have always been device versus device. And the background medical therapy has just been left to chance pretty much and to consensus and guidelines. And in essence, we have been perplexed for almost two decades now, where we have thought that aspirin is a key component of the antithrombotic regimen, which also includes a vitamin K antagonist like warfarin. And we have combined the two and have said that, my God, this is an absolutely essential regimen to maintain thromboembolic outcomes and bleeding the balance between these in LVAD patients. Now, aspirin is uniquely used, Mike, because aspirin not only has an antithrombotic effect, but also an anti-inflammatory effect. Mm-hmm. And the two effects coalesce together to promote thrombosis. And this has been the question that we asked is, do we actually need aspirin if we're already using a vitamin K antagonist? Mm-hmm. And so we conducted a placebo-controlled trial in 628 randomized patients worldwide across 51 centers in 9 countries, where we basically asked this very fundamental question: what is the relationship of removal of aspirin or avoidance of aspirin from the inception of an LVAD implant to 12 months of hemocompatibility-related adverse events? So we asked, you know, what does it do to bleeding? What does it do to thrombosis? And so we created this very pragmatic trial, which we conducted over a 2.5-year period, started interestingly enough in July 2020, right through the COVID pandemic, and completed it in a timely manner, Mike. And this trial, as I said earlier, is the first ever evidence-creating trial for medical therapy in the LVAD space.
Wow, that's congratulations. That's quite a milestone. And what did you find?
Well, the first thing I will say with this trial is that we asked a question, and many trials don't always give you an answer. And we are very fortunate that we asked a question and we have a very clear answer. Good. And I'll start by saying that one of the reasons I can claim that is that we conducted a well-powered study, first of all, to answer this question. And we did so also with biochemical testing in the background. So we actually tested patients for aspirin responsiveness in the treatment and avoidance group, as well as we measured for the first time ever TTR levels in LVAD patients so that we could discern whether whatever we were observing was it because of the vitamin K antagonist component or the primary aspirin avoidance component. So that's the first point. And we found that the TTRs in this trial were similar between the placebo and the treatment group, whereas in aspirin, thromboxane B2 levels were clearly reduced and no reduction in the placebo group. So we know that we had a therapeutic effect of aspirin avoidance on both sides without a difference in vitamin K antagonist. So that's really important to understand the result.
Now, people are taking the aspirin too.
Yes. And so we ensured we were very meticulous. I mean, this is probably one of the most meticulously done studies to the highest standards of building evidence that one could anticipate in this field, Mike. Now, what we found was very clear benefit in favor of avoidance of aspirin. So what we found is a marked reduction in non-surgical mucosal bleeding events when aspirin was avoided and only a vitamin K antagonist was used. The primary endpoint was a non-inferiority endpoint, which was very easily met. And the principal secondary endpoint, which was on cumulative bleeds over time, was also extremely easily met with a 37% reduction in the incidence of major, moderate, or severe bleeds. We we showed that without any signal of an increase in stroke or pump thrombosis or any other thrombotic complication. And when we examined the subgroups in which some would say, well, these, you know, some subgroups might need aspirin. For example, patients who came in with a prior stroke, they also reduced bleeding. Patients who came in with a prior bleed history, they had the greatest reduction in bleeding. And almost across every demographic curve, age, older age, female sex, obese patients, diabetic patients, patients with atrial fibrillation, we saw absolutely no benefit of aspirin in any circumstance as long as we were using background vitamin K antagonist.
Well, I'm sure, being the trialist that you are adequately powered to test that non-inferiority margin or hypothesis.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. You know, if we had had NOACs or DOACs first, just inhibiting factor 10, someone would be saying, I've got this new drug. It inhibits multiple points in the pathway that, you know, three different points or four different points. This is going to be a real winner. That drug's called warfarin. So for contact activation in patients like yours and valve patients, warfarin's still a good drug.
Yeah, I we think that warfarin is not just still a good drug, but this class of agents, vitamin K antagonists, may actually be the only thing that we need in the background with left ventricular assist device therapy because of the elegant way in which you've described its opportunity, Mike. We know that in some circumstances that DOACs actually don't meet the bar that even warfarin manages in valvular atrial fibrillation or in the presence of mechanical valves and other things, or lupus anticoagulant syndromes and many other situations. So DOACs are great, but warfarin seems to be better in some circumstances. I think the challenge with warfarin in many cases, you know, we only saw a TTR of about 55 to 57% in this study. And I always wonder if there was a better vitamin K antagonist than warfarin, what that would do to this space. And if increasing the TTR by, say, 5 to 8% or 10% would actually yield a much more stable outcome, even in bleeding complications in these patients. And the residual effect of bleeding that we still observe even after withdrawal of aspirin may, in fact, be tackled with a better vitamin K antagonist. I just don't know.
Yeah, some of them are coming. Some of them are coming along. And talk about better antagonist. You know, just a question for you: clopidogrel is probably safer than aspirin. You know, do you think the results would hold up with clopidogrel?
Yeah, I think the results would be the same. Honestly, Mike, I think what we are observing is that in almost every subset, that we may have been over treating these patients, at least with this particular device, right? So it may very well be that we were right with the old legacy devices because they weren't as good, because they caused a lot more thrombotic events and strokes. The current generation device, the HeartMate 3 that we have, is so well engineered that it may not even need an antiplatelet at all. And so I personally think that just vitamin K antagonist is all we need. And I guess you're asking a different question. Could we do away with vitamin K antagonist and maybe just use clopidogrel in these patients? That I don't know. That could be an even tougher question.
No. I think you're going to need vitamin K. I was just wondering, instead of aspirin, if you use clopidogrel, if you might. I think you're on the right track with VKA antagonist. Well, I'm a big D prescriber, big fan of less is more. I'm so always actually thrilled when people do brave studies about taking things away. You know, that's a great move. Thanks so much for joining us. And thanks so much to everyone in the audience for joining us here from AHA 2023. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.